When he received a strange call saying not to take this personally, he figured it was just the ravings of some guy on drugs. But hours later, his wife was dead on the kitchen floor, a knife lying nearby. The couple hadn't talked to the suspect in over a decade, but it was his DNA at the scene of the crime nonetheless. This is the story of Gary Shane Clinton, the ex-son-in-law who just couldn't let go. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On the morning of August 31st, 2018, Larry Rushing got a weird message on his phone. He couldn't exactly understand what the person was saying because they sounded either drunk or high, but he heard one thing clearly: don't take this personally. Larry didn't think much of it. But later that day, he called 911. It was 4:49 p.m., and he had come home to find his wife dead on the kitchen floor. Her name was Arlinda, but everyone called her Lynn. She was 75 years old, and it wasn't clear how she had died.
And police calling this a suspicious death, but they're also telling people in that surrounding area they have nothing to fear. KTX's reporter Olivia DaVinci joins us now live from Pinehurst and Hoy Lake Drive with the latest. Olivia?
Well, and Veronica, the forensics unit is now on scene. They have been waiting for a search warrant to get into the house. Abilene police have confirmed that 75-year-old Arlinda, also known as Lynn Rushing, is deceased. According to Police Chief Stan Stambridge, her husband Larry Rushing called police just before 5 this evening saying he found his wife dead. APD could not tell us if there were signs of foul play. As of now, police are ruling this as a suspicious death.
Larry and Lynn were those so-called pillars of the community in Abilene, Texas. They'd owned as many as 5 clothing stores at a time in the area for over 40 years, but had closed their last store, Lynn's Sportswear, 4 years earlier. Lynn's daughter calls her the original badass because she woke up before 7 a.m. for work and returned home after 6 p.m. every day, and yet still somehow always managed to provide a home-cooked meal for the family. She was president of the women's club and was called an Abilene icon. Everyone knew her. Later, on the evening Lynn was found, police went into the Rushing home with a search warrant and a forensics team. They collected 52 pieces of evidence. Larry was being cooperative, but Lynn's death was still being called suspicious. There were no signs of a break-in at the home. A few days later, on September 4th, authorities were calling it a homicide, but now Lynn's husband was off the hook. They developed a different person of interest, and after interviewing this person, they arrested him.
Investigators say they have now ruled her death a homicide and say they have a person of interest in that case. That person of interest has been arrested on unrelated charges. According to police, Lynn's husband, Larry, has been ruled out as a suspect. Detectives did tell KTAB News no signs of forced entry were present at the scene. Possible items of evidence have been sent to a lab for testing.
An autopsy showed that Lynn had a laceration on her neck and stabs to her chest and arms. There were defensive wounds to her right hand and forearm. Her cause of death was confirmed to be sharp force trauma. Next to her body was what was being called a possible murder weapon. It would later be determined that Lynn probably ran through her house to the kitchen to get a knife to defend herself, and her attacker must have taken it away from her. As this murder weapon and the 52 other pieces of evidence were being processed, one of them led to probable cause and this person of interest. That strange phone call Larry had received suddenly seemed a little more important in light of the events, and investigators were able to trace the number on the caller ID. It led to Lynn's ex-son-in-law. He was already in trouble on the day of Lynn's murder for absolutely wrecking his apartment. Someone had called the police on him for burning clothes outside, but he was gone by the time they arrived on the scene. The cops also found that he had been burning things inside his home, along with punching holes in his windows. There was broken glass on the floor and forks and hangers stabbed in the walls. It seemed wildly suspicious that this just happened to be taking place on the same day Lynn was killed. When the cops took interest in this man for the second time that day, he was barefoot and confused in the driveway of a home a few miles away on Piccadilly Street. People had seen him driving around and parking in random driveways, and now his car was in the driveway across the street from the one he was sitting on. He couldn't recall why he was there, but he told the officers he was looking for love and had telepathic powers. But this was just minutes after Lynn's body had been found, and there was no reason to suspect him yet. He was allowed to get into his car and leave. One neighbor said the police told her that the man was probably just on drugs. So they had let him go that time, but when they caught up with him later to question him about Lynn's death, they had an outstanding criminal mischief charge against him in their back pocket for the fires and the damage to his apartment. They were able to arrest and hold him on that while they waited for the murder evidence to be processed.
Lynn was beloved in this community. She had, I can't tell you how many people who have approached me personally to express condolences and to encourage their police department to solve this murder. And today I get the benefit of having the good news. We have arrested the person that we believe committed this murder.
And with that, we get you right to breaking news tonight. A suspect has been charged in the death of Abilene resident 75-year-old Arlinda Lynn Rushing. Her former son-in-law, 50-year-old Gary Shane Clinton, has formally been charged with her murder. Earlier this month, Abilene police named him as a suspect in this case, but say they were waiting on DNA evidence as well as witnesses to come forward.
On September 18, 2018, 50-year-old Gary Shane Clinton was charged with first-degree felony murder in connection with Lynn's death. He was already in jail for damaging his apartment, and now he had a $400,000 bond for murder. He also had 41 other arrests on his record and a quote-unquote troubled history with the Rushing family. He'd been married to Lynn and Larry's daughter, but the two had divorced in 1994. The daughter had filed a restraining order against Gary in 1998. After the divorce, the Rushing family suspected that he was the person sneaking into their homes and stealing things, breaking their family photos on his way out. But since then, they hadn't had any sort of contact with Gary. It'd been more than 10 years since they'd even seen him. It would be so weird if he suddenly came after one of them. The ridiculous thing is that during questioning, Gary said he didn't know Lynn, you know, his former mother-in-law. Way to not look suspicious, Gary. The day after Gary was charged, the Rushing family released a statement that read, "On Friday, August 31st, at about 7:30 p.m., we learned about the death of our mother, Lynn Rushing, through a phone call from detectives with the Abilene Police Department. This is a day our family, friends, and our community lost a beloved member of the community. The trial for the man accused of her murder will be a difficult one for the family. We want to stress that Lynn was murdered, taken from those who loved her, relied on her, and those who were her friends. She was taken in a most heinous way, and we wish the media and the public to be sympathetic to our family. She was murdered by a man with a lengthy criminal record, which includes 41 arrests. This should be a concern for our community. The family is refusing to use his name and instead focus on our beloved family member, Lynn Rushing, and the legacy she leaves behind. We have every confidence in the Abilene Police Department, the District Attorney, and the Taylor County Sheriff's Department in bringing justice to the man accused of murdering our beloved family member. We are just as confident that the investigation, once completed, will be sufficient to secure an appropriate verdict. Lynn was in the safety of her home when she was taken from us. Our family remains in a state of disbelief. Lynn was a grandmother, mother, wife, and an icon in the community. We will feel her loss for many years. We want to mention the legacy her death left behind. Lynn was a grandmother of four, a mother to a wonderful daughter, Stacy, and loving wife to her high school sweetheart and husband, Larry. She will be missed. We feel that the system failed our family and our community. The suspect was released as recently as May 2018 while still having verbalized thoughts of hurting others. This crime happened in the home that Lynn and Larry shared for over 30 years. Our hope is that the justice system continues to improve in order to help future victims of violent crimes and to prevent violent criminals from committing violent crimes in our community. Finally, we would like to thank our friends and our community for the prayers and thoughts in this difficult time. We would also like to thank law enforcement for bringing formal charges against the accused." Days later, it was discovered that a knife had been found in Gary's vehicle. A witness had also come forward and said she'd been out jogging near Lynn and Larry's home around the time of the murder and had seen someone matching his description driving a vehicle like his just a few blocks away. There was also a security video from a convenience store that showed his car driving toward and then away from the Rushing home on the day of the murder. One of the items found on the floor at the scene of the crime had Gary's DNA on it. It was looking worse and worse for him. But in March 2019, Gary was declared incompetent to stand trial. One person at the pretrial hearing said that he was smiling, laughing, and making jokes. His ex-wife said that he showed no remorse, that he was waving to the crowd. And the way that he was able to rattle off specific dates and times of his previous arrests with ease made him seem hardly incompetent to her. She believes Gary's working the system to delay his trial. She thinks he could have even been setting fires in his apartment that day to burn evidence, but he could have also been setting himself up to look crazy.
In tonight's Eye on Crime, here in the big country, an Abilene man accused of killing his ex-mother-in-law, a well-known businesswoman, is found incompetent to stand trial. 50-year-old Gary Shane Clinton was declared incompetent during a pre-trial hearing at the Taylor County Courthouse this morning. He will be transferred to a mental health facility where they will attempt to restore his competency, and his ability to stand trial will be reevaluated at a later date.
Whatever the case, the court found him to be incompetent, and he was ordered to spend time in a maximum security state psychiatric facility and to be reevaluated at a later date. Because prisoner transfers weren't really happening during the worst of the COVID pandemic, it took over a year for Gary to be admitted to that hospital. It wasn't until November 2023 that he was deemed competent. At trial on November 9th, 2023, Gary Shane Clinton was sentenced to 50 years in prison. Gary was born on May 9th, 1968. On the Catch My Killer podcast, Lynn's daughter Stacy says she met Gary in high school. She was 16 years old, out cruising in her car around town with friends and flirting with guys, and he just happened to be one of those guys. They dated as she went to college, they got married, and then Gary joined the Navy. They were stationed at the base in San Diego with their young son when Stacy realized that Gary had started using drugs. He was becoming a different person. By the age of 23, Stacy left and filed for divorce, and that's when the stalkerish behavior began, the breaking into her home and smashing photos. When they were going through their divorce, Stacy's lawyer looked at her and said, "You know he's going to kill you one day." She hired private investigators to catch Gary harassing her, but never had enough evidence to get him put away. But then, thanks to the drugs, he kept getting himself put away. His record is full of theft, possession, driving while intoxicated, evading arrest, failure to pay child support, forgery, all of the things you'd expect. During all of this, Stacy completely lost touch with Gary. She didn't even know of his whereabouts after 1998 and really just assumed he was just in jail. When the police brought her in for questioning after her mom's murder, she didn't even think to name Gary as a possible suspect. That's how estranged they were. She said she's shocked in a way that he still had a grudge against her and her family, but she knows that years and years of drug use can alter time for a user. Stacy said that her mom liked Gary in the beginning, that he was a nice guy before he got into drugs, but she was supportive when Stacy wanted to leave him. Stacy thinks Gary wanted to get revenge on her, and her mom was just an easier target. Stacy lived 2.5 hours away from Abilene and was now married to a police officer. Killing her older, more petite mother was a slightly simpler way to create hell on earth for Stacy. She says the hardest parts are thinking about her mom's horrific last moments and the guilt she feels over bringing this man into their lives. "The worst part for me is that in May 2018, Gary had been committed to a mental institution after saying that he wanted to kill himself and everyone. They knew what was going on in his head, and yet he was out in society." Arlinda Beth Lynn Rushing was born on April 4, 1943 in Ranger, Texas. She graduated from Abilene High School with her future husband, Larry, and went on to get her degree from McMurray University and became a teacher. And although she loved that work, she wanted to be a businesswoman. She started her sportswear store in 1970. Customers said that she always made them feel welcome, and employees said she was a good woman to work for, a grand and classy lady. Her family asked that donations be made to the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals and the Blue Family Fund, which raises money for the families of first responders, so you know what kind of woman she was. Lynn's daughter said, "There is a huge hole in my heart. I miss you, Mom. I'm forever grateful that I got you for a mom. You made me the person I am today." Her son-in-law said, "Lynn was truly the mother everybody liked, the friend everybody wanted, and the counselor so many needed. It's just so sad that more couldn't have been done to protect her." Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.